You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Went to our action items. We have several action items tonight to work on. The first one is to authorize our Fellas financial consultants to look at the fire rescue assessment study, or if we were going to decide to do that in December.
This is the city council in Gulf Breeze. I believe that's Mayor Schluter talking. I'm still not great at identifying their voices, so sorry about that. That's my problem, my fault. But talking about the possibility of having a fire assessment or a fire service assessment in the city that would specifically fund fire services and be, you know, basically a tax that you would pay separate from your property taxes. I mean, on your property taxes, but it would be a line item, basically, which is, you know, a fairly common process. It just doesn't happen that way right now in the city of Gulf Breeze. Jim Custard, who is the chief of the fire department, talking about this.
What we're asking tonight is to engage Raftellis to conduct a study. As y'all know, over the recent times, we've been looking at ways to handle funding based on changes they're making at the state level. And in the budget workshop, as we discussed, the ways to maintain the combination department that we have set forward in the staffing, and in order to ensure that we're getting adequate coverage, we were wanting to engage this study as a way to set up a fire assessment fee that would possibly fund the fire department.
And this is especially considering the possibility that the tax amendment passes and they lose out on a significant chunk of property taxes because of that. And, you know, making sure that you have alternate streams of revenue to take care of the streams of water. Okay, it's a fire service fee. All right. Sorry, this is a terrible joke. I know. I deserve everything that I get in this context. And, you know, certainly I always have Jonathan willing to brew me.
Ooh.
No, that's fair. All right, I deserve it. Anyway, back to the point. It's a $50,000 spend to produce the information that would allow them to potentially vote on this. But there's a lot of ifs. This is not a done deal at all. But with the combination fire department the Gulf Breeze operates, you know, two careers and 49 volunteers, they're going to study where calls come from, where calls go to, what response times are. It's a pretty comprehensive thing. And then to kind of figure out, well, how could we charge people that would make the most sense? So actually reading from the recommendation, the study will establish cost basis for fire rescue services, evaluate alternative cost apportionment methodologies, analyze property and calls for service information, and develop a five-year financial management plan. Raftellis, which is super weird as a name, it's hard to say, will then calculate potential assessment rates by property classification and parcel, develop a preliminary assessment role, and present the results to city management, city council. Importantly, the study will allow the council to evaluate the methodology impacts and appropriate level of funding before making a final decision on whether to impose an assessment. There's a lot of requirements when you do something like this, time requirements, notice requirements. So the kind of the schedule is to implement this in 2027 to 2028 budget year. And in order to do that, they have to have a resolution of intent by this December 31st. And that would they would then actually have the conversation about this coming up in the following spring. So this is kind of, you know, working towards that end goal of FY 27-28 if it winds up happening. Here's what I thought was kind of interesting about all of this. No decision to commit a very small decision to commit funds was actually made, because this is like a, I don't know the number, but, you know, let's say 4 or 5 step process at least. And every step is only funding to that step. So even though it's a $50,000 ask, it's actually $49,800. And this is not like, you know, Sam Abel is coming here with a spend. She doesn't have to get permission. No, she's coming to city council with the permit with the spend. So it's not that at all. I know some people hear $49,800 and think that's one of those things. It's not like that. But the idea is that they're going to start it. And if the data information or pushback from the citizens comes back and says, what are you doing? Or this doesn't seem to make sense. They can just stop at that point and then they don't have to pay anymore. So it's not like they're on the hook for 50. They're on the hook to start it, which is a couple thousand or 5,000 or whatever. I don't know the numbers, but, you know, it's a partial thing, which Chief Custard explained.
Some key notes to make with this. What you're doing tonight is basically buying information. You're not committing to anything. You will get the study. I've been told that y'all are very familiar with Raftalis. Such a hard time saying that name.
Close enough.
Understand.
But you've engaged them on other studies in the past, and so you're familiar with their work. They're going to come back and tell you what can be done, what can't be done, the kind of funding that we can expect, and that way you can make the decisions that you need to make. But once you have that information, you're not committed to anything. It's just getting the information you need in order to make an informed decision.
Yeah, this step one is paying for information. Then after that, you do what you can with it. And it's, again, a gradual process over time. So I think this makes sense. You had, one person showed up, Ed Gray, of all people, and said, I don't think this is a good idea strategically, politically for you because it makes it look like you're trying to do a workaround in advance for the property tax amendment, which, I mean, is what they're trying to do in part. The question is, you know, if they're doing it for fire, isn't that actually appropriate governance? But, you know, we'll come back and talk about this in a second because I have some other thoughts on this issue of what government costs and your ability to know what you're paying for things. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at Dog Track Road in Pensacola. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you've got a kid who's struggling with math, or you got a kid who's doing okay but could do better, or a kid who does really well with math, as in all kids, okay, Mathnasium is a great resource for any of them. Now, obviously, you get the idea that if they're struggling, you know, they understood fifth grade math, but sixth grade is kicking their butts, you know, okay? Or a teacher that they used to do well with, now a new teacher, they don't get it, okay? And you're at your wit's end because they don't speak your language on math, whatever, go to Mathnasium. They'll do a free assessment. They'll figure out what your kid knows and doesn't know, what tools are or are not in their, you know, math backpack, so to speak. And they'll figure out a plan to fix that and make sure that your kid doesn't fall farther behind, which is very normal. But if your kid's just doing all right at math, you know, you might think, why do they need help? Because they can be better. And math is important. It opens up all kinds of opportunities for jobs, right? But also, if your kid does well, you know, who needs to be taught tennis by a pro? Well, you know, like people who are good at tennis benefit. There are a lot of parents who bring their very capable math students in and they learn how to do even more, how to be even more effective, to really excel, to bring out the best in them, having a, you know, not a remedial tutor, but an enhancement tutor. So Mathnasium can do all that. We're big believers in the program. Our best friends run the Mathnasium here locally. My son taught there for a year. So love this program, love what it does. And absolutely, they're fabulous people, by the way. Love teaching kids and, you know, they love, really, really believe in helping kids know how to do things. Go by, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport, and just do that free assessment. 717 on News Radio 92.3. Back to this conversation about a fire assessment study for fire assessment fee in Gulf Breeze. I like the idea of line items on your tax bill. I like, as a taxpayer, being able to look and see, okay, I'm paying $100 for fire. I'm paying $400 for the sheriff. I'm paying $150. We already see it for, like, you know, the library, right? The Children's Trust in Escambia County. You have, like, the school. You know what goes to the school. You may not know whether it goes to salaries or to buildings or to athletics or whatever. I'd kind of like to know. And you say, well, if you really want to know, you can look at the budget. Have you ever tried to penetrate a city or county budget? I know they try to make it relatively digestible to those of us, you know, who are good at math and bad at budgets, which is possible. I have tried so many times to really understand the budgets. I find it daunting. I have a master's degree in philosophy. I taught logic, and I'm very good at math, and I have trouble with the budgets, okay? So I know most people have trouble with the budgets. Well, what could you do if you're a politician? You could help people understand a little bit better, not by putting some better budget document out there, but on your trim notice. And maybe there's a law saying what you can and cannot put on there. But I'll tell you what I would love to see. I'd love to see, you know, your tax bill is $2,000. And again, $500 goes to the sheriff and $150 goes to ECFR, or fire in your area. You know, $100 goes to parks. I mean, that would be interesting to me. You know, $250 goes to roads. 150 goes to, we don't know exactly. You know, because you got to figure there's going to be, other is going to be a category. Because I that would help me take ownership. That would help me feel like I get it. You could include the budget for those things. You know, there's a $50 million budget next year for this, and your taxes are paying $180 of it. You know, okay. You know, I like that idea. It doesn't necessarily have to be a line item the way Gulf Breeze is talking about it, where it would be a special assessment or something that would be specifically by their legislation to your taxes. But I just think that for an information sake, for comprehension sake, you know, because otherwise it just feels like you throw money in the hole of government. All you're doing is you just, you know, every year you write a bill and you just throw your $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever your tax bill is. You just throw it into the big black hole that is local government. How does that help voters? How does that help you feel empowered to understand what your government is doing? It's not good. I have the same idea about federal taxes. I've always had this idea that, and you could do this locally, theoretically, but on your federal income taxes, I've always thought it would be a nice idea if they explained where the money went, which they don't. But I actually thought, hey, what if 5 or 10% of your income taxes you got to assign to a project? You know, I'd like 10% of my income specifically, like this would be the discretionary funding from the citizens. So next year, the Pentagon budget or the Department of War budget could fluctuate based on whether people want to give money for the military or not. And, you know, there's still, you're not going to give them total control, but, you know, 90% could be decided by Congress and 10% could be decided by you. I want to put more money into national parks. I want to put more money into art. I want to put more money into education. I want to put more money into roads. You know, whatever. Pollution. You know, beefing up the legal system. I don't, everybody, you could have like 5 or 6 choices. It's a small thing. It could definitely be done. And it would give you empowerment, a sense of accountability. You know, like right now, your charitable giving, you get to pick where it goes. What if some slice of your local or income, your local property or your federal income taxes, you had that power? I don't know. I know it's probably not going to happen. You know, there's a lot of things I come up with where I'm like, ah, they'll never do that. But you never know. Maybe, you know, I've heard that some legislators do listen to this show. They're creative people. Maybe somebody's like, huh, I don't know if we can do quite that, but we can do this other thing. It's sort of similar. There you go. I don't know. Try it. See what happens. 721 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you've never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Daniels looking, now thinking about running, flush to the right side, fires into the end zone, it's caught! It's sweet feet! Daniels Singleton Jr., touchdown!
Florida State faces nationally ranked SMU in an early season ACC matchup on Monday night. Primetime Labor Day coverage on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU takes on SMU Monday at 6:30 p.m. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware and DeFranco Gas on News Radio 92.3.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, but what if I'm a legacy? Like, I can't help that my dad got into Arizona State.
Of course, the joke is, like, not to burst your bubble, but if you had to get into ASU on a legacy ride, then, Not great. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning. A gunman forced his way into a Virginia elementary school yesterday, wounding a staff member and killing himself. Police say 19-year-old Anthony Isabel was found dead in that school library from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The staff member was treated and released. Of course, that school was placed on a lockdown. The good news, police say all the students and staff are safe. That's still under investigation. The House has overwhelmingly censured North Carolina Republican Congressman Chuck Edwards over what a GOP-led ethics panel called a years-long pattern of inappropriate behavior towards two young female staffers. The vote was 413-2, with Edwards and South Carolina Republican Ralph Norman opposing it. Edwards denies any wrongdoing and says investigators found no evidence of sexual activity or harassment. Meta is now testing robots to handle data center tasks that are currently done by human technicians, including the pressing of power buttons.
Let me do this for you, because I feel like okay. we're definitely here.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
Okay, you were saying, David? Go ahead.
It's been my lifelong dream to be a part of this segment. All right. let's see, where was I at? Meta is testing robots to handle data center tasks that are normally done by human techs, including the pressing of power buttons, swapping of network cables, and reseating components. The company has tested two ARM robots. Apparently, these tests were done at locations in Iowa and some other machines in Ohio and Virginia, and some employees are worrying this technology could eventually replace human jobs. Meta says robots could address a shortage of skilled workers.
Yeah, don't worry so much about them replacing human jobs. Worry about them killing all the people. That's what the Terminators will invent. They're building Terminators to maintain the data centers that use the AI to run the robots.
Have you seen the video that was going around yesterday? There was a humanoid robot, and it was in some, I don't know where the store was, but a guy walks in, and the robot walks up. He offers his hand to shake the robot's hand. And this humanoid robot doesn't shake his hand, so he pushes the robot. And the robot immediately goes into kung fu mode.
No, seriously.
Yes, it's it like launches into a, I don't know, I guess.
It can't be real.
I don't know if it was set up to look like this or whatever.
I gotcha. Okay.
But the guy pushes the robot, and then it started playing a kung fu music, jumped into a fighting stance, and tried kicking the guy. Two other people had to run over and hold the robot back. It was crazy.
I'm not as worried at the moment about the robot kung fu, because I have seen the Robot Olympics from China and the robots falling and all of this stuff. But I'm worried in a year. You know, I'm close to where we're worried about.
It's the worst it's ever going to be today.
Yeah, it's the most incompetent right now that it's ever going to be. And, you know, the old, people need to read your iRobot. You need to read your Asimov's Rules of Robots, right? You know, don't harm a person, obey an order, and then self-preservation. In that order, by the way, is very, very important. In that order is very important. What happens when you develop a brain architecture that avoids, bypasses, or suppresses some of those impulses? You know, it's funny until we're all dead. And then I guess, I don't know, you know.
Then maybe it's a little less funny. Probably,
maybe the second coming is just when Jesus comes and rescues us from the robots, and then they become the worshipers. I don't know. did we skip traffic entirely? Are we super late?
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's a video.
Say it in a more
injuries.
Disappointed tone, PJ.
It's okay. You guys were fascinating, so it's okay.
Go on.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Adams Road at Hamilton Lane in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at Dog Track Road. Roadway is open. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Man, Jesus is on the throne. I come back to that a lot. Jesus is on the throne. It's going to be okay. Is it? We'll see. All right, 7:28 on News Radio. By the way, David, thank you for participating in, as you said, in the feature.
It was my honor.
It's exciting.
I was glad to be here for it.
All right. In other news, I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialist got it right? Again?
No.
Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician, or beloved, depending on who you ask, the socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the eighth grade.
It's because he doesn't want corporations in the classroom.
I don't care what his reason is. It's good. That's whatever. You know, it's a good outcome. Now, there's also, I guess, a push on to, you know, teach the high school agers, you know, how to use it more effectively or, you know, whatever. But, hey, you know, if a socialist does a good thing, do you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do. That's for sure. What else? Almost don't want to tell you this one because this is one of those, like, you tell people that a thing is bad for you that they're doing and then that makes it even worse. But, you know, here goes. Looks like people taking the weight loss drugs, you know, the inhibitors, you know, Ozempic and Wegovy and all that kind of stuff. It looks like you are twice as likely to be depressed. That's it. That's the news. Over the past year, 8.4% of users sought mental health counseling compared with 3.4% of non-users. 9.9% had suicidal thoughts versus 4.5%. 2.2 actually made a plan versus 1.1 and so forth. So mental health struggles as a at least correlation. They're always cautious about whether they want to indicate causation. But there's some kind of issue with people that are taking these drugs and having very, you know, negative thoughts and or depression. So, you know, talk to your doctor. Find out more. Don't go based on my recommendation. But, man, that's kind of concerning.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Feminist activist and icon Gloria Steinem has died at the age of 92.
Steinem rose to fame during the late 1960s and 1970s as a feminist activist. In 1971, she founded the first national periodical run entirely by women called Miss Magazine. In 2013, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Steinem was widowed and never had children of her own, but was the stepmother of four children, including actor Christian Bale.
Fox's Chanley Painter, day six of deliberations in the Lindsey Clancy case. The jury twice saying they're deadlocked.
Right now, the reason for the disagreement among jurors is unclear. The only question that they've asked so far was to review Lindsey Clancy's prescription pills and the knife used in her attempted suicide after she strangled her three young children.
Fox's Nate Foy, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio, 92.3, 78 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now, and we'll get a look at our forecast. Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson have that for us in just a couple of minutes. Well, Pensacola police are one of several local law enforcement agencies that say they won't be using ALPR cameras to solve crimes anymore, at least right now, after the state ordered the cameras removed from state roads and right-of-ways within the month of September. PPD Chief Eric Winstrom says Mayor D.C. Reeves has taken some criticism over the city's decision to shut down the flock cameras, but he says the mayor really didn't make that call. He did.
I did not get any pushback from the mayor. The mayor has not pushed me at all. Best mayor as far as policing I've ever, well, best mayor period I've ever worked for, but wants an expert to run the police department who knows about policing, defers to me on policing issues.
And Winstrom says the original decision to bring flock cameras to Pensacola came through the police department as well, not through the mayor's office. The SS United States is nearly ready to become part of the world's largest artificial reef in Okaloosa County. County spokesman Nick Tomachek says remediation is now complete. All the fuel tanks and smokestacks have been removed. The project is now waiting on the final permit approval from the Army Corps of Engineers, with deployment expected within 30 days of the green light. The ship has been docked in Mobile since last March, costing about $100,000 a month. Tomachek says the overall project remains funded through tourism dollars and partners, and no taxpayer money has been involved. Well, there's some new charges added against two Flomaton parents that were arrested after their child was hospitalized in critical condition this week. Eric McClure and Cynthia Tedder now face attempted murder charges along with torture and willful abuse. Police say other kids were also found living in the home and are now in the care of Alabama's Department of Human Resources. The neighbor tells Channel 3 he'd long been concerned about the children living there, describing dirty conditions and cockroaches at the home and children that appeared unclean. McClure and Tedder are being held with no bond, awaiting extradition to Alabama. Well, is there another big box home improvement center headed to Gulf Breeze? Some plans could be underway.
Home Depot could potentially be coming to the south end of Santa Rosa County. The company's looking at property in the 4,000 block of Gulf Breeze Parkway on a 16-acre parcel. This is right across the street from Ascension Sacred Heart Tiger Point. P&J reports that most of the property is zoned to the planned business district, and a home improvement facility would be allowed within that zoning category. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Florida families getting a boost from a legal settlement over alleged egg price manipulation. Attorney General James Uthmeyer says 5.7 million eggs are being distributed to food banks across all 67 counties, delivered by 21 tractor trailers with no cost to the state. The eggs are coming from a multi-state settlement over pricing benchmark allegations. Companies involved also are covering packaging and distribution costs. Attorney General James Uthmeyer says putting food directly into people's homes will offer a bigger benefit than settlement cash alone would. 7:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
There is a vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at Dog Track Road in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a brand new vehicle crash, I-10 westbound as you approach Avalon Boulevard. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a small 30% chance of some pop-up showers today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Saturday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got partly cloudy skies right now, 79 degrees across the area. Our next news, 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with your money now. NVIDIA agreed to buy Hugging Face, an open source AI platform, for $12.9 billion. CNBC reports that Jensen Huang, NVIDIA's CEO, said that with the deal, the company will expand access to AI for developers and institutions worldwide. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise raised its annual forecast after reporting quarterly results that beat Wall Street expectations, as surging AI-related demand across networking and servers drove growth across its business. However, the company's share slipped more than 3% upon the news, weighed down by persistent supply constraints. The Department of Justice said in a post on social media platform X that its antitrust division has expanded an investigation on beef affordability to add 8 major retailers, including Walmart and Costco. The investigation also includes grocers like Kroger, Aldi, Publix, and more. Futures are currently mixed, with all eyes on developments in the Middle East. Dow futures up by more than 100 points. That's your money now.
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. And joining us by phone now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and a very, very capable one at that, I will tell you. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a second. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You were out last week. You were at a national PIO training, NIOA. What is NIOA?
National Information Officers Association.
So it's their version of a PIO, public information versus, okay, all right, fair enough. So that's you, and were you leading the training for the nation like we always say you should be?
I appreciate that, but no, not at all. There were about, I think there's about 1,000 of us in the organization. There were probably between 600 and 800 at the conference and from all over the country discussing thought, you know, things that are going on right now. Things are not just happening in Pensacola, but all over the place, such as flock and curfews and teen takeovers. We went over all of that stuff. And then we heard about things that went bad, like the floods in Texas, how the communication was good in some places and bad in other places, not only there, but New Orleans. And so what the reason for that training is to get us into situations or listen to situations that have already happened to find out what worked and what did not work communications-wise and make sure it doesn't happen in Pensacola.
All right, and I'm gonna tell people something, because this is not just like fluff talk. This is like everyone here in Pensacola who is in media knows that Mike is at the top of the skill chart. And I'm going to tell all the other communications people something that Mike does that makes him so valuable. I'm going to brag on you for a second. You have learned how to think like we do, which means that you know we are going to be interested in something. And whenever something that fits that category happens, you put out the information to all of us who are in the media. And you kind of early warning announce it to us because you are always thinking basically like a TV newspaper radio producer, and that means that you push information to us ahead of time in order to proactively inform us, and so we know we can count on you. And then of course you're obviously very responsive, but I think that is one of the best things you do is to actively think, what do we want to know, and then don't have to wait for us to ask for it, but tell everybody here's what's going on. So I love that you do that. You're not, you know, nobody else does it quite that way. Other people do it to a degree.
Well, that's training. I mean, we have to know what's newsworthy and what's not. That's one reason for it. The other one is in today's climate with the social media, if I don't get ahead of the narrative and get the information out there to the people we serve, I mean right now, then keyboard warriors can take over on social media and put out just crazy things that unbelievably get traction. And once you fall behind the narrative, it's very hard to catch up and pass it. So what we do, or what you're supposed to do, is get that information out to the people as fast as possible. And sometimes it's not accurate. You want it to be. So you're very limited in what you can say at first until more facts come in. But you want to get out ahead of the story. That's the goal.
So true. You're pre-disqualifying bad information by putting out good information. You create trust with the community by communicating early and often and acknowledging when you make mistakes and doing that as well. But look, the first person to talk controls the narrative, and silence is not a form of communication. Silence is losing. You know, keeping your mouth shut means you lose the conversation in the public. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, the first, and when you go to these schools, the first day, the first thing that's said is no comment is not an option.
That's right, because no comment doesn't help. It gets perceived the wrong way, and ask Skanska how no comment worked if you really want to see it in action. All right, what else do we have going on? Oh, you have not a lot of, you know, high-profile incidents in the city, so I will always take that for the win that it is, but you had a thing on your personal page that you were promoting, a fire suppression tool. Tell me what this is.
So it's called a fire suppression tool, an FST. It's a box that contains an aerosol. And I have a history with a house fire back in earlier in my career. So I take fires very seriously. I take officers responding to them very seriously. And a lot of times officers respond to house fires and commercial structure fires long before the fire department gets there. Well, not long before, but in the city, we're very lucky. They will be there in just a minute. But we get there first. And this device, when you pull the pin on it and throw it into an active fire, whether it's one room or two rooms, doesn't really matter. It will release in 8 seconds an aerosol that does not take oxygen out of the room or out of the building. So if there are people trapped in there, it does not deplete the oxygen like other things do that's similar to this. But it will put this fire out, knock this fire down, I should say, in about 30 seconds. It's unbelievable. There's YouTube videos out with this device working. And I saw this thing and I had to have it. So we got one, and the reason I did that is to hopefully prime the pump and make people aware, make governments aware that this is something. You know, we already have Narcan in the cars. We have defibrillators in the cars. And if the officers could get one of these, and they're good for 15 years, and it doesn't matter how hot it is in the car or how cold it is in the car, it will not affect the device. But if we could get one of these sooner or later in every Pensacola Police Department's cruiser, I think that it will save lives and property, and it won't take long for that to happen.
So it's like an anti-fire grenade. You literally pull the pin, throw the little orange box in the room, and it will knock down or stop the fire within 30 seconds. I mean, where's Chief Craner on this? I mean, I assume you've talked to them, but like, this sounds like it wouldn't necessarily replace pumper trucks, but would be like first action. You know, the first thing you do is go.
Yeah, there's no way it replaces the fire department. No way at all. I mean, all it's going to do is knock down the fire long enough to hopefully for officers to get in and get people out or people get out on their own.
Yeah.
Or just to save property, to knock it down long enough for the fire department to get there and completely make sure the situation is taken care of.
Absolutely. I have a question I'm going to follow up with you in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood from the Pensacola Police Department. Hang on for just a second, Mike. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, Brancus Avenue at Halsey Drive in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. Also still working that vehicle crash, I-10 westbound right near Avalon Boulevard in Milton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, Mike, so I have a technical question. The nerd in me wants to know this. Here's my question. You say it does not affect the oxygen in the room, which, of course, is a concern because you don't know what people might be in there and you don't want to suffocate them. I mean, the reason you're there is to protect them. Okay, but people and fires breathe the same thing, oxygen. And so if the thing suppresses a fire, how does it not also suppress human breathing? Like, what does it do? Do you know?
That's above my pay grade, so
okay.
I'll be honest with you. I can tell you that the aerosol is not harmful to humans, and it does not remove the oxygen. Now, getting into the chemistry is something way above me.
Okay.
But I know, and when you get a chance to look at these videos, you'll see for yourself how fast this happens.
Okay. I mean, I'm fascinated. I've never heard of it before, so I appreciate the update. Any kind of technology that's going to save lives and, you know, save structures and, you know, give, as you say, first responders the ability to do something that you don't have to wait for the more capable, you know, second, let's call them responders. You know, if it's Narcan, you don't have to wait for the ambulance. You can go right now. I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me. Obviously, as you know, we've been talking a lot about about flock cameras this week. And I do have some questions for you. One thing is, you had actually, this is another thing, you had posted on your Facebook page, and I know a lot of officers who are frustrated might be a little bit strong, but I mean, some are frustrated because they love the flock cameras, love what they do, how they solve crimes. And I know our local law enforcement leaders are in the same boat, but I think we should keep talking about this and get as much information as possible so that when we talk about what we do, we're informed. But you had a story about a particular way that flock cameras solve something near and dear to your heart, a NASCAR related, like a racing related crime, right?
Yeah, it was Greg Biffle's family. His wife and his two small children and himself were killed in a plane crash back in December. And right after that, someone broke into his home and, knowing nobody was going to be there, and took a lot of trophies, cash money, and some other things. And eventually, a flock camera was able to locate the suspect and arrest him. So it was just, and there's so many wins with these cameras. It is frustrating to police officers. I know it's frustrating to the administration and all of that, what's going on, but we serve the people and we have to listen to them. And if they're uncomfortable with the way flock is operating in its current form, then we need to be, we need to listen to that. So that's what's going on right now. And maybe changes will be made through legislation. Maybe this is something that needs to go on the ballot because people need to be policed the way, a community needs to be policed the way it wants to be. So maybe this is something that could go to the ballot one day. I don't know. But I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that this is a tool that is so good. And I know Chief Lindstrom and Sheriff Simmons have both expressed how huge this is for fighting crime. And hopefully we will be able to meet in the middle at some point, at some form, and get these cameras back online. But, but for now, our feathered felon finders are going to have to sit on the back burner until something changes.
Our feathered felon finders. It's funny because they're flock. Okay. I appreciate that. As you say, people, as the chief has even said many times, people have to decide how we want to be policed. And, as somebody had said to me yesterday, I'm sure Savannah Guthrie wishes that there had been more flock cameras around. That's a very high profile story, but that's certainly true at at all kinds of levels. And, gaps in the system are actually the biggest problem for some of these things, if the system were functioning. I did want to ask you, though, because one of the things you and I were talking a little bit before we got on the air here. And one of the questions is about who's controlling the data or who stores the data and to what degree that data is, available to private, to being hacked, to government. And how does that relate to things like, the NCIC system? So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, NCIC and DAVID, which is information on driver's license and vehicles, are controlled by law enforcement. There's nobody in the private sector that has any access to that information. Officers have to be trained and retrained on both of those every year. And all officers know that that's something, that information is something that's not played with. You do not use that for reasons that you're not supposed to use it for. And if you do, you're going to lose your job. So I don't know if that's something that would make things better. If the flock data was ends up in the hands of law enforcement only, that may not change things at all for some people. But it does make a difference, I think, the fact that a private company has that information on people as opposed to information that we have, such as NCIC and DAVID. That I don't know if it'll make a difference or not, but they're not even close as far as the security goes of that information.
We had a kind of a little story, but I like the little stories because they're kind of entertaining. We always like to say police, you never know what you're going to have to do on a given day. That's part of what makes the job interesting. It is still 80% super boring, but the 20% could be anything. PPD was called to rescue a pet pig recently. Is that right?
Well, the officer saw the pig and knew something was wrong. So they were trying to get his attention. And this is the third time this has happened. We had one running around on the interstate. We had another one running on Garden Street. But those two absolutely did not want to get caught. This little guy here, or big guy, however you want to say it, they were able to get him into the car, but he didn't want to get out. It was hot that day. The car was air conditioned, and he didn't want to get out, and they had to lure him out with some double stuffed Oreos. And it
worked. So, not just pig capture, but pig guidance and motivation, essentially. So, some double stuffed Oreos went the way of, what'd you guys call him, Piggy Smalls? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we end up with a name for all of them depending on the situation that day. But he was reunited with his owner, and at the end of the day, everybody was happy.
Well, I mean, did you have to use cuffs?
Two pairs.
What's that? Two pairs?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know, and this is one we've talked about before, but My God, if I have, I almost dread watching any kind of cop detective crime shows and movies because they're so full of stuff, let's just say. They're double stuffed with stuff. But this one just comes up over and over and over again. You know, the local police respond to a crime. The FBI shows up or the ATF shows up or the state police show up and we're taking that case away from you. No, you're not. It's my case. We're not going to have this jurisdictional pissing match or whatever. Okay, what's the reality of this on the ground for cops?
When they show up and they want to take over a case, we will say, well, okay, then. you know, it's not something that we're going to get upset about. We work great with our federal and state counterparts, and that is not true. I mean, if somebody wants to come take over a case, I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback from us. Or any other local agency. It's not like that. It's only like that on TV, but they have reasons for doing that. And a lot of times their jurisdiction and their reach is further and the penalties can be more harsh. So, yeah, we get along with all of our partners. And even at the state, the local level, we all get along. We all have the same goal at the end of the day. And, yeah, we don't, that doesn't happen in real life.
And nobody's looking, you know, nobody's underworked. Nobody's no. looking, you know, when somebody comes along and says, I'll take this workload away from you. Oh, no, you won't. That doesn't.
Yeah. When they say that, we're pushing the files right to them. Here they
are.
Here
you go.
Is there anything else we can get you, sir?
Thank
you. You know, it's yours.
Thank you for giving me my life back. I appreciate it. All right. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for being you. Thanks for doing all the great things that you do. Keeping us safe, keeping us informed. I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
7:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, somebody texts in and says, as a career Army Public Affairs officer, Mike is one of the best. He sure enough is. Absolutely. We're not, I'm, you know me, I'll be honest. And I have people come on my show because I think that they're good. And Mike is absolutely one of the best. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, cars that are 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe years young, typically one owner, maybe two. I know our car was a year old with like 12 or 13,000 miles, and it was from Orlando. It was out on a corporate lease and it came back, a Honda Odyssey, and it was a year old, and, you know, they couldn't sell it. Pre-owned certified, put it to auction. Frontier bought it. We bought it from them because it was a smoking deal on the exact car we were looking for that we could not find anywhere. Couldn't even find a test drive. It was all we were trying to do. But like I said, we drove it. It was great. It was the car we wanted and the price we wanted. And so we bought it. But what makes Frontier different isn't just that they have good cars. It's the way they treat you in the process, not to make you hate it. Like, you know, a lot of times you feel like they're trying to, you know, take advantage of you and you feel icky about it all. And that, like, they're just not like that. It's meant to be the kind of thing that where you want to come back and buy from them again and again and again. And I certainly do. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash that just popped up. Avalon Boulevard and San Pablo Street in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also still dealing with that vehicle crash. I-10 westbound right near Avalon Boulevard. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the five.
And I have football tickets for you. FSU takes on Southern Methodist University Monday the 7th. So it's Monday at the Doak, 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 our time. If you want a pair of tickets, be the fifth texter right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. Text us, go Noles, and you're number five, you win.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple, growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Public news team is taking a break from its pledge drive to kick some ass. No commercials! No mercy!
Yeah!
song. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. That's Comanche from Dwayne Whitaker. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, Chevron is expanding its operations in Venezuela following the U.S. deal aimed at developing the country's oil reserves. Chevron says it's been assigned additional acreage and plans to invest more than $7 billion over the next 5 years. They're hoping to more than double production to about 600,000 barrels per day. We've been hearing about this on Fox. Feminist leader and journalist Gloria Steinem has died at 92. A statement says Steinem died peacefully in her home in New York City. And Colin Kaepernick says Jay-Z's recent criticism of him reflects a guilty conscience. Deepening a years-long fallout between the two, Jay-Z recently criticized Kaepernick over his settlement with the NFL and defended his own partnership with the league. Kaepernick says he did not sign a non-disparagement agreement.
Work.
You think so?
You're the wrestling guy. You tell me.
Probably.
I mean,
it's all a work.
What does Colin Kaepernick want more than publicity at this point? Give me attention. How do you get attention? Generate a feud. Some kind of feud going on. Some kind of something or other. And
we love a good drama.
Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, what do you have to lose except attention, which is what you want. So I don't know if I'd say Jay-Z was in on it or whatever. Jay-Z, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. But, you know, it smells a little bit, let's say opportunistic. How about that?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.